This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us in the History of Islam class. Today, inshallah, we will begin with the 10th year of Hijrah. After we discussed the boycotts of Quraysh to Banu Hashim and how it ended, now we move to another stage of the da'wah. Now, after this ordeal is over, after these 3 years of difficult situation, the Prophet ﷺ is moving now to another thing. After the companions were commanded to migrate to Habasha again to Abyssinia one more time, there is another thing that was going on. This year, the 10th year of Hijrah, in this year when the boycotts was over, it was called the year of sorrow or sadness, عام الحزن. Because this year was one of the most difficult years on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now remember, at the beginning of the da'wah until now, there was no rest. From day one, the Prophet ﷺ had to overcome a difficulty after difficulty, and things are not getting easier, but rather they are getting more difficult. First, he started with his own people, with his own family, and his uncle rejected him. Then, his people of Quraysh, and still they won't listen to him. There was physical abuse, physical torture. Some companions were killed, like Sumayya and her husband Yasir, radiallahu anhuma. And then we come to a year where another difficult things are going on. We begin by the death of Abu Talib. Now, Abu Talib was always a supporter of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him, because again, Abu Talib is the one who took care of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the death of his grandfather. After the death of Abdul Muttalib, Abu Talib, he took care of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his uncle. He is his uncle, and he is the one who took care of him. And he used to protect him. When the da'wah came, Abu Talib was not a Muslim. He did not accept Islam. And there is a wisdom behind that. He was able to protect the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Hamza radiallahu anhu, although he was strong, once he accepted Islam, he lost his status among Quraysh. But Abu Talib was still kafir, was still non-Muslim. So the kuffar, they used to respect Abu Talib. So Abu Talib's protection for the Prophet ﷺ was honored by Quraysh. After the boycotts, Abu Talib became a very old man, and he was also very weak, very tired. So the kuffar said, let's try one more time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came to Abu Talib, and they noticed that he may die soon. So they wanted to get this thing from him before he dies. So the thing will be over, no more trouble in Quraysh, no more da'wah from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they came to Abu Talib, and they told him, look to your nephew, look what did he do to us. Why don't you try with him? We are ready to give him whatever he wants, as long as he stops his da'wah. So the Prophet ﷺ came to Abu Talib. Abu Talib called on the Messenger ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ came. Abu Talib told him, look, your people is ready to give you anything you want. There was Abu Jahl. There was Al-Walid ibn Mughira. So the Prophet ﷺ told them, I want only one thing. One thing. Abu Jahl said, we'll give you 10 things, not only one thing. So the Prophet ﷺ told them, just say La ilaha illallah. That's all what I'm asking you for. So the kuffar knew that there's no use. They left. And they said, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَبٌ. Surah Sa'd was revealed. How come he makes all the gods one god? How come he denies the gods? So they knew that they cannot take anything from the Messenger of Allah. After they tried with Abu Talib, and they told him, if your nephew needs a wife, he needs money, he needs to be our king, we have no problem. That did not work. After they tried with the punishment, with the abuse, with the boycotts, it did not work. Then again with this thing, and it did not work. They knew that they cannot stop the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they had to change their strategy. Abu Talib, he died. In his final hours, the Prophet ﷺ came to him, trying again to save him from hellfire. And he told him, Ya Am, my uncle, one word, just say one word, La ilaha illallah. A word that will cause me, will let me intercede for you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Abu Talib, did he say it or he refused? He refused. He told the Messenger ﷺ, I fear that my people, after I die, they will say, he said this word only because he feared death. He said this word only because he was on the verge of death. So he did not say it. Well, why do you care? You say it anyway. If you are dead, what difference it's going to make? But his friends, Abu Jahl and the other disbelievers, they were with him. And notice how the friends, they entice, they cause each other to disbelieve if they are wrongdoers. And if they are good doers, they are righteous, they will help you to do the good thing. So Abu Jahl, he was with Abu Talib when the Prophet ﷺ told him, say this word. And they told him, how come you leave the religion of Abdul Muttalib, the religion of your father, who is very famous in Quraysh? So Abu Talib said, هو على ملة عبد المطلب. He is on the religion of عبد المطلب. And he did not say, لا إله إلا الله. So the Prophet ﷺ could not do anything. And the ayah was revealed after the death of the Messenger of Abu Talib. إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. Indeed, you don't guide whom you love, but Allah guides whom He wills to guide. So Abu Talib died as a kafir. He did not die as a Muslim. Of course, there is a narration, especially the Shia, they try always to mention it. Why? Because they love Ali radiallahu anhu. That's what they claim. Actually, we love Ali more than them. We love Ali radiallahu anhu more than them. But they try to give him a higher rank. And they say it's impossible for his father to become a kafir while his son is the greatest companion. That's what they claim. And they say Abu Talib's name is what? What's Abu Talib's name? You forgot? Okay, I will not tell you. Abd Manaf. So they say his name is Imran. And they say Inna Allah astafa ala Ibrahim wa ala Imran. He chose the family of Ibrahim and the family of Imran. They claim the family of Imran is not the family of Maryam, it is the family of Abu Talib. That's what they claim. So they believe, they say, when the Prophet ﷺ left, Al-Abbas came to the Messenger ﷺ. Al-Abbas is the brother of Abu Talib. Al-Abbas is the uncle of the Messenger ﷺ. He came to the Prophet ﷺ and he told him that your uncle said the word that you wanted him to say. But of course, this narration, is it authentic? It's not authentic. Why? Because we have many authentic narrations, they say that Abu Talib died as a disbeliever. One of them, especially by Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu himself, he told the Messenger وسلم, what did you do to help your uncle? He used to protect you. He used to help you. He said, he is now in a shallow of hellfire. In a shallow stream of hellfire, where the fire reaches only his ankles and his brain is boiling. Had it not been for me, he would have been in the lowest depth of hellfire. What does that tell you? Abu Talib is a believer or disbeliever? Disbeliever. Another narration from Ali radiallahu anhu. He came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the death of his father, after the death of Abu Talib. He told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your uncle, إن عمك الشيخ الضال your uncle, the old misguided man, he died. So the Prophet ﷺ told him to bury him. Did the Prophet ﷺ participate in that burial? No, because again, Abu Talib was not a believer. So still, Abu Talib did not believe. But didn't that affect the heart of the Messenger ﷺ? He was saddened by the death of Abu Talib. But that's not over yet. Again, another incident. Almost a month after the death of Abu Talib, who died? Khadija radiallahu anha. Again, Khadija was the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was very beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whenever people used to abuse him, whenever he had a difficulty, he had no one to go to except his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he needed someone. He needed to find tranquility. He needed to find peace. And he found that in the house of Khadija radiallahu anha. From day one, when he came scared, she cooled him down. She helped him. And yet now, she died as well. So it's not only his uncle, and his wife also died. How old was Khadija radiallahu anha when she died?
62.
Alhamdulillah. How old?
62.
No? 65. It was very difficult to lose Khadija radiallahu anha. Now, what about the kuffar? Did they show any sympathy to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Did they say, oh, his uncle died, his wife died, so now we should help him, we should stop our abuse, we should think of what he's telling us? Did this happen? No. Actually, they elevated their abuse to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day, he entered his house crying, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Quraysh could not do something harmful to me until my uncle died. Quraysh could not do something that will hurt me until my uncle died. So this happened to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the death of his uncle, because his uncle helped him. He protected him. So now, the Prophet ﷺ had to change the strategy. No one is helping him. The situation is not improved in Quraysh. What do you do? What should you do? Move. Or you stop the da'wah. Stopping the da'wah is out of question. It's not an option. But you move. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. And this is the beginning of the third stage. So the third stage, it started in the 10th year of Hijrah. We have first 3 years, and then 7 years, and then the last 3 years. This is in Mecca. He had to move. And he went to At-Ta'if. He went south. Look at the map. Here is Mecca in the middle, and At-Ta'if in the southeast, very close to Mecca, almost 45 miles south of Mecca. Why the Prophet ﷺ did not move to Abyssinia as some of his companions moved? He was guaranteed security there and justice, but he did not move. Why? Why he tried to go south, to At-Ta'if? Any thoughts? Closer? That's one of the reasons, but not the main reason. The main reason is he needed a tribe that has the same qualities like Quraysh, that speak the language, the Arabic language. It had to be a tribe that they speak Arabic, because the Quran was revealed in Arabic or in English. If he went to Abyssinia, there will be no use. It had to be an Arabian tribe. So he went south to Al-Ta'if. Because again, he was known. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was known. He had a good reputation. He's from the family of Abdul Muttalib, from Banu Hashim. So he was known. He went to Al-Ta'if. But were they receptive? Did they accept the da'wah? What happened? Do you have any idea what happened in the Ta'if?
He met with the chieftains.
Chiefs, they were three. Three people. Yes.
Sharif said the people stoned him.
The people stoned him. Not the people, the children. The youngsters, which is more difficult. The crazy people, they let the idiots follow the Prophet ﷺ and stone him, and his feet were bleeding. They did not only tell him, we don't want you or we'll not accept your da'wah, but they stoned him. Before that, when he met with the three people, those are the chiefs. The first one told him, didn't Allah find someone else to send him instead of you? That was the reply he got from the first one. The second one told him, whether you are too good to speak to you, whether you are too good for me to speak to you, or you are too bad for me to speak to. He told him, if you are truthfully a messenger, then I cannot speak to a messenger. He's too good. If you are a liar, then I don't speak to liars. Of course, he was making fun. That's the only thing. So again, he rejected him. And the third one again, he told him, if you are a messenger of Allah, may this and that happen to me. All of them, they gave the worst answer to the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But still, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, okay, if you did not accept my message, at least please keep it a secret between me and you. At least do not tell the people. Do not tell Quraysh. Why? When the Prophet ﷺ left Mecca, did he tell Quraysh that I'm leaving? He did not tell them. He did not want them to know. Because again, Quraysh was trying hard to stop any attempt to expand the da'wah of the Messenger ﷺ. Now, the same thing will happen when he sent the Muslims to Abyssinia. They sent kuffar following them. And the same thing would happen. The Prophet ﷺ was rejected with the worst reply. And they called the people, the children, the insane people, to stone the Prophet ﷺ. And he ran away from Al-Ta'if. He doesn't know where to go. In Mecca, the level of abuse is elevated. In Al-Ta'if, he was rejected. Where do you go? And the Prophet ﷺ was unconscious. He was walking and he doesn't know where he's going. Until he reached a ranch or a farm for Utba and Shayba ibn Rabi'ah. Two kuffar, two disbelievers. They had, because again, Al-Ta'if is very nice place with good weather. Unlike Mecca, there are lots of farms there. So they had a farm. And the Prophet ﷺ was resting there. Utba and Shayba, although they were kuffar, but they pitied the Prophet ﷺ. They felt that this is too much. They had a servant, his name is Addas. They told Addas, go with some grapes and give it to him. Give it to that man. They saw him there. So Addas went to the Messenger ﷺ with grapes. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Addas was surprised. He said, by Allah, this is not the way those people talk. Who are you? He told the Messenger, who are you? So the Prophet told Adas, where are you from? Adas told him, I am from Nainawa. Nainawa in Iraq. So the Prophet told him, you are from the village, from the city, from the place of my prophet, my brother, Yunus ibn Matta. Adas told him, do you know Yunus ibn Matta? So the Prophet said, yes. All messengers are brothers. So Adas believed in the Prophet ﷺ. And he started helping the Messenger ﷺ, removing the blood from the feet of the Messenger ﷺ. Utbah and Shaybah were looking at this scene and they said, SubhanAllah, our servant was spoiled now. This man, they are saying, Muhammad ﷺ spoiled our servant. When Adas came, Adas was a Christian. So when he came, they told him, look, don't listen to him. We told you just to give him that grape. Don't listen to him. He said, by Allah, he is the best thing here. He's the Prophet of Allah. So Adas believed in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, this day was the most difficult day on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The day that the people of Ta'if rejected the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was there any day more difficult than the day of Uhud? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, when the people of Ta'if rejected me. So that's the most difficult day on the Messenger ﷺ, when the people of Ta'if rejected him. Again now, the Prophet ﷺ does not know where to go. Where should he go? He cannot go back to Mecca, because again, those people did not only reject him, but also they told Mecca, look, your man came to us. So the Prophet ﷺ sent to some of the respected people in Mecca to give him jiwar, to give him protection. And again, you need to understand the political system wherever you give the da'wah. Because if you cannot do that, people will not listen to you or you may lose. He sent to one of them and he said, I cannot help you, I cannot protect you because I am not originally from Quraysh. Then he sent to Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. And Al-Mut'im ibn Adi accepted to protect the Messenger ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ went back to Mecca with the protection of Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. Al-Mut'im ibn Adi, he took his sword, he took his children, and he went around the Kaaba with his children and he told the people, I gave protection to Muhammad ﷺ. So they asked him, did you believe in him? He said, no, but I'm giving protection. Why they asked, did you believe in him? Because once you believe, you will be considered like from the others. You don't have any status anymore. But because he was not a Muslim, that helped the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he was able to return with the protection of Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. Now, in the way back, also, another incident happened. Before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reaches Mecca, there was a delegation from the jinn. It came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah says, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَى قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. 6 or 7 people from the jinn, from Nusaybin. Nusaybin is a city in the north of Syria. It's almost in Turkey. They came to the Prophet ﷺ and they heard his recitation. So he was with them and he gave them the message. So they went back to their people. This happened again in this year, in the 10th year of Hijrah. And this ayat, this incident is mentioned in Surah Al-Ahqaf. In Surah Al-Ahqaf. The last page of Surah Al-Ahqaf. So now, the Prophet ﷺ went back to Mecca with the protection of Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. But the Kuffar again, they did not give him a break. They started another round with the Messenger ﷺ. Yes, he has the protection from Al-Mut'im ibn Adi, but still, they would not stop attacking Islam. They will never stop. You have to understand this. Kuffar will never stop attacking Islam, no matter what you do. So they asked him, why don't you show us miracles? Why don't you send the sky in pieces on us to destroy us? Why don't you show us gardens? You say there is garden in paradise and hellfire in the hereafter. Show us gardens. Let the earth gushes forth rivers of water. Why don't you have a big house, mansion, palace? Of course, they are asking these things just to show that the Prophet ﷺ is not a messenger out of dispute and challenge. They don't want to believe. If they wanted to believe, they would have believed earlier, because the Prophet ﷺ gave them many miracles. And we can read some of these dialogues between the Prophet ﷺ and the Kuffar in Surah Al-Isra. وَقَالُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. We shall not believe in thee until thou cause a spring to gush forth for us from the earth, or until you have a garden of date trees and vines, and cause rivers to gush forth in their midst, carrying abundant water. Or you cause the sky to fall in pieces, as you said will happen against us. Or you bring Allah and the angels before us face to face. So again, these are not questions of people who want to believe. Because if you want to believe, why you ask for destruction? It will not help you, you will be destroyed. But you ask for guidance. They were not asking for guidance. They were only challenging. So what would the Prophet ﷺ tell them? قُلْ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي هَلْ كُنْتُ إِلَّا بَشَرًا رَسُولًا. Say, I am only a messenger, a human messenger. Then again they asked another ayah. They said, why don't you turn this mount, As-Safa, to a mount of gold? So the Prophet ﷺ asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make this mount, As-Safa, of gold instead of being of dirt. So Allah told the Messenger ﷺ, I am able to do that. But if they disbelieved, they will be punished a severe punishment that no one else was punished. So the Prophet ﷺ said, then no. Because he knew the people are challenging only. They don't want to believe. So he did not do it. The kuffar were happy. Then they asked for another miracle and they said, okay, we want you to split the moon. They see the moon and again, you see something high in the sky and no one could reach it. Split the moon. And the Prophet ﷺ asked Allah and Allah responded. The moon was split, two pieces. One of them was on As-Safa and the other one was on Jabal Abi Qubays in Mecca. All the kuffar, they saw it. And this is in the book, page 112. And actually the title of the book is what? When the moon split. This is a miracle. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. So, did it happen only for the people of Mecca? Only the people of Mecca saw that? No, everybody saw it. Everybody saw it. And then it was returned. But again, did they believe? They did not believe. That tells you they were not looking for guidance. They were only challenging. Then the Prophet ﷺ, again, remember, difficulty after difficulty after difficulty, all things are difficult on the Messenger ﷺ. So he needed a break. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam with al-Buraq in another miracle, al-Isra and al-Mi'raj. In the miracle of al-Isra and al-Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the house of Hani, his cousin, the daughter of Abu Talib. And Jibreel alayhi salam came with al-Buraq. What is al-Buraq? It is an animal between the horse and the donkey, bigger than the donkey. It's like the mule, is that big. So Jibreel alayhi salam brought al-Buraq, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam rode al-Buraq from Mecca to where? Jerusalem. In part of the night. And what do we call this in Arabic? We call it al-Isra. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. Exalted is he who took his messenger in a journey in the night from the sacred masjid to al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Exalted is he who took his servant. Allah did not say who took his messenger. أسرى بعبده. Again, عبودية is the highest level for a human being. So the Prophet ﷺ went with Jibreel عليه السلام from Mecca to Jerusalem. And he led all the prophets in a prayer. And then he ascended to heavens. That's what we call Al-Mi'raj. So we have Al-Isra and we have Al-Mi'raj. Isra means to walk in the night. And Mi'raj means to ascend. We have it in the Quran. تعرج الملائكة والروح إليه. What's the meaning of تعرج? Ascend. Surah Al-Ma'arij. When did this happen? Now we know the year. The year was what? 10th year. But when did it happen? People nowadays, they celebrate this incident. And they say it happened on 27th of Rajab. Well, we don't know. We don't know whether it happened in Rajab, in Sha'ban, in Ramadan. Allah knows best. There is no authentic narration says it happened in Rajab. Even if it happened in Rajab, it's not the only incident. There were many incidents happened. Why people celebrate Isra and Mi'raj? Did the Prophet ﷺ celebrate it? Did the companions celebrate it? We should not do it unless the Prophet ﷺ did it or encouraged doing it. So actually we don't know whether it happened. Maybe it happened on the 27th of Rajab. Maybe it happened later on. Or before that. Now the Prophet ﷺ, again, he needed this to reassure his heart. To become more encouraged to do the da'wah, to have more patience. He ascended to the heavens and he met with the prophets. And the first level, in the first sky, first heaven, who did he see? Adam alayhi salam, the father of the creation, human beings. On the second heaven, who did he see? Yahya and Isa, the two cousins. In the third heaven, Yusuf. And he said he was given half of the beauty of the world. On the fourth heaven, he saw Idris. In the fifth heaven, he saw Harun. In the sixth heaven, he saw Musa. And in the seventh, he saw Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, all these messengers, they are mentioned in the book. So you go back to the book and you read in each heaven, whom did the Prophet ﷺ see? He saw Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was leaning on al-Bayt al-Ma'mur. Remember, what did we say about al-Bayt al-Ma'mur? It's the Kaaba in the heavens, just like the Kaaba on the earth. And the angels, again, 70,000 angels come and they don't come again until the day of judgment, every day. So he saw Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then he kept ascending with Jibreel until he reached Sidrat al-Muntaha. What is Sidrat al-Muntaha? It is a very big tree. Very big tree with colors that he said, I cannot describe these colors. Again, it is a great tree. And then, where did he go? He reached to a level where he heard the pens that are writing the decree of the creation. The angels that he reached a level where Jibreel alayhi salam told him, now I cannot move forward. If I move forward, I will burn. So the Prophet alayhi salam went to a level where no creature before him reached. And he talked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Now, did this happen physically to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or spiritually? He moved from Mecca to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur. Did this happen in his dream or it happened with his body? Physically? How? How the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is able to ascend to the seventh heaven without a gear, without space shuttle? What? It is a miracle. Yes, it is a miracle. Nowadays, it is so weird for us, right? It is difficult to ascend. The same thing at their time. A trip from Mecca to Jerusalem, it used to take 40 days. It's impossible for the Prophet ﷺ to take part of the night to go from Mecca to Jerusalem. So again, now to us it is a miracle. It's a huge thing, but there is nothing difficult on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are so weak, we are so limited that we think it is very huge. Later on maybe, there is nothing difficult on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, this happened physically. Because if we say the Prophet ﷺ dreamed of this, then where is the miracle? There is nothing. I could tell you, I saw in my dream all the messengers. I saw myself going to Jerusalem, to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. I mean, this is not a difficult thing. But it happened physically. Look at the picture. Where is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa here? This one? Actually, this is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, not this one. This is Qibbat al-Sakhra. There is half kilometer between this and this. This is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Most of the people, they think this is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Here, the Prophet ﷺ led the prayers with the messengers. And he went there, from here, he ascended. And that's why it's called Qibbat al-Sakhra, the rock. This is the rock. And it is a miracle. How it is a miracle? When the Prophet ﷺ ascended, the rock was like this. And now, it is like that. Until now. But the Zionists, they put something here. They put woods and they cover it, so it doesn't become like a miracle now. But it's like this. And I know many people, they saw it. Before 1948, they saw it. So it is still there. When the Prophet ﷺ ascended, the rock became like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there the prayer became obligatory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained prayers in heaven. And this is a unique thing about the prayer. All other rituals, how they were ordained. Jibreel alayhi salam comes down and he tells the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do this, do that. But regarding the prayer, it happened directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All other rituals, it was on earth. But this ritual, it was mandated in heavens. At the beginning, how many prayers? No, in this trip. 50. So the Prophet ﷺ came down and he met with Musa ﷺ. And Musa ﷺ told the Messenger ﷺ, your ummah cannot take it. 50 is too much. I examined the children of Israel and they could not take it. So again the Prophet ﷺ went back and it became 45. And then all the way until it became 5. And Musa ﷺ every time is telling him, go back, tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you cannot. Until at the end, at the very end, what happened? Prophet ﷺ told him after it's five, by Allah, I cannot go back. I am shy to ask again for lightening the number, reducing the number. So it became five. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Messenger ﷺ, it is five when you do it, but the reward of 50. You will be rewarded for 50 prayers. And then when he came back, the next day, Jibreel alayhi salam came with the first prayer, which was Dhuhr prayer. Again, that's why we say we start with the Dhuhr prayer. So it was the Dhuhr prayer. After that, the Prophet ﷺ came back to Mecca. Again, all this thing happened in what? In part of the night. Hani, she missed the Messenger ﷺ. She said, I missed the Prophet ﷺ and his bed was warm. I thought he went to Al-Haram or something. So when he woke up, he told her what happened. He told her that I went to Jerusalem, I went to heavens and I came back. Now what did she do? She said, please do not go and tell people. Why? Because she don't want them to make fun of him. This is something so strange for them. But the Prophet ﷺ told her, this is the commandment of Allah, I have to deliver it. Now at that time, when the Prophet ﷺ went from Mecca to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to the heavens, did time stop or not? Why no? Maybe. Some scholars said time actually stopped. Now to us, in our calculations, we think things happen fast. But when you go in the universe, in the space, there is difference in time. Just like when we say it's one day in heavens, but it is 1,000 years here. Allahu alam. Anyway, Allah is able to do whatever He wants. The sun was held for one of the messengers, for one of the prophets, for Yusha ibn Nun, the prophet after Musa alayhi salam. So it is possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went the next day and he met in the morning. Whom did he meet with? Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl saw that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has something. So Abu Jahl told him, what do you have today? They are waiting, just imagine, people are waiting for you to say anything just to make fun of you. So Abu Jahl told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you have? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that, I went to Jerusalem last night, and I went to heavens and I came back. So Abu Jahl could not believe it. He just like, I got him now. But he told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was alone, he told him, do you see if I gathered everybody, would you tell them the same thing you told me? He wanted to guarantee that the Prophet ﷺ would not change the story. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, of course, I would tell them. Abu Jahl ran in a hurry just to bring everybody because he thought now he got the Prophet ﷺ. They came, so the Prophet ﷺ told them, I was in Jerusalem in one night. They could not believe it. Now, when I tell you something very, very strange, what do? Wow, right? These were their expressions. Some people, they clapped their hands. Oh my God. Others, they whistled. Why? Because they thought this is too much to believe. First you tell us Quran, other things, and now you tell us about this, this happened. So, they could not believe it. They asked the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, fine, you say you went there. Describe to us Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Because again, the kuffar, they used to go several times, like twice a year. They had business. So they told him, describe Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Now the Prophet ﷺ, he saw it for once only, one time. And it was a short time. So he was troubled for some time because you may not be able to describe everything. Until Jibreel alayhi salam, he right away, he came carrying Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in his hand. Just like the picture of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. So the Prophet ﷺ was looking at Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and he described everything to the kuffar. And they could not believe it. He silenced all of them. Not only that, he told them, in my way back, I saw a caravan for Quraysh. And they will reach almost that time. And the first camel is so-and-so camel. So the kuffar were so happy because, again, they thought he was lying. They went and the exact thing happened, what the Prophet ﷺ told them. But again, did they believe? They did not believe. They ran to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and they told him, look to what your friend is telling you. He told us that he went to Jerusalem in one night. What was the response of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? He said, he is telling the truth. If he said it, he is telling the truth. They could not believe it. They said, how? He said, I believe in him every day. That the news, the revelation comes from heaven to him. Why don't I believe in him in such a thing like that? Believing in the revelation is greater. But they don't understand. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood that. From that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was called As-Siddiq, the truthful, because of what he did. And the details of this journey is mentioned in the book in page 117. With this, we conclude our session for today. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبي محمد وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.